Dang it. What was I saying? The human dongle.
Oh, get your finger out of my eye.
Way better now that you've stopped touching it.
Yes, I was...
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain, and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain.
All right, Crystal and Aaron, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I've got both of you on the line. Now, you guys, are you close in geography?
I work in Norman, but I live in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
I teach in Delft City. I live in Edmond, so.
Okay, so semi-close, but not in the same district. How did you guys decide to get together and do this podcast?
I might answer that one. I had been writing about this topic, and Crystal had given some really sage wisdom and feedback on some of my blog posts, and some constructive criticism that I really appreciated, and I wanted this to happen with Sunday Night Chat, and I just approached her on Twitter and said, would you be willing to co-moderate? And she was very gracious.
Excellent. Well, how did you guys feel the chat went?
I think it went pretty well. The conversation, I thought, was constructive. People were willing to admit that they didn't know everything, and offered their thoughts. Nobody really seemed to get defensive, even though it's a complicated conversation.
Sure. All right. Was it everything you hoped it would be, or do you think we could have gotten deeper? What do you guys think there?
I just wish there would have been more people, and I know it's hard to gauge because I can't see everyone, but it just feels like it feels light in the summer. I don't know if y'all are experiencing that, but I definitely missed a few voices, but there were some very important voices that were being heard, so I appreciated that.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It was my wedding anniversary, so I was out, but I was so pleased. There were some new faces in the crowd, I thought, and even a couple that I had seen that I thought, oh man, I am so happy you're chiming in here. I thought it was definitely necessary.
Yeah.
Oh, Aaron was saying that it was kind of light. We were competing with Game of Thrones, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. But I definitely think that there's room to have a follow-up and go a little deeper now that people have been introduced to some of the terminology and maybe have had time to reflect on the overall conversation. So there may indeed be a good opportunity for a follow-up. I'm not sure if Aaron's on board with that, but
yeah.
I think there's some room there.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I know that several others have stemmed from our conversations on race, and so maybe we'll have an opportunity to dive a little deeper, you know, sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Crystal, yeah, sorry, I've cut you off again.
I think it's just my timing is bad. So I was thinking in the fall might be a good opportunity to do that. So there were so few people online last time, as Aaron mentioned, that we may be able to get a broader audience.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Well, Crystal, what was your favorite question of the night?
I think probably the first and last question. So the first question dealt with understanding the differences between sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. And I think there was some confusion as to the definitions. What exactly are the differences between those? And so that was a good opportunity to open that conversation and say, these are not the same thing.
Right.
Because it's really important for people to understand that sex is biological and gender is an identity.
And what about you, Aaron? What was your favorite question?
The first two were great. I was following up Crystal's questions with some infographics and some just a few memes that I created. And the one that had an explanation about those four areas, while it didn't go viral, but it did get some attention beyond Sunday night, which was pretty exciting.
Oh, good.
I saw it swapped around on Twitter. into Monday and Tuesday, and so it's very exciting that people were engaging with that information. I also really like the question about the phrase, "That's so gay."
Yes.
And I have been thinking about that for years on end because it's such a middle school thing that is my everyday existence at school. But and just researching, knowing that Chris was going to send out that question, I found some really cool memes. One that some students actually created, and they came up with all of these things that could be said instead of saying that phrase, which aren't disparaging of any particular group of people.
Right.
So I really like that.
I can't remember who tweeted it out, but I really liked that Wanda Sykes video too, where she stood up in, you know, in the booth behind the boys in the restaurant saying it, and she was like, you know, that's so Brian, or that's so boy with a sideways haircut or something like that. It was, I thought it was pretty awesome. That was a great video.
I've really tried to get students to say the phrase, "That's so straight," but it hasn't really caught on.
That's awesome. Well, where do you think we go next with this? That's not a question I lined you guys up with, and it just came to me. Do you already have a set of questions maybe to go in the future?
Not a set of questions, but I think delving a little deeper into these issues is really important. From the conversation, I think there was there were some people who had a fairly shallow understanding and some that had a deeper understanding. And I think engaging with those, having those people with a deeper understanding, engage in that conversation with those who don't have that is really important. So I appreciated that when we had this discussion on Sunday, that so many people already had that knowledge and were able to share perspectives and things like that and really engage in the conversation.
And so some of the, I saw some of the tweets around this. What do you have to say about if somebody says, you know, sexuality doesn't belong in the classroom, math and social studies belong in the classroom? Do you guys have a response to that?
I had lots of responses to that during the chat. Yeah, I think it's problematic because otherwise, if we're not talking about these issues in this space, say you have a student who has a boyfriend, their sexual orientation is on display, but only because they're straight and it's a heteronormative world, is it not given a second thought. However, when you think about a student who has a boyfriend and said student is a boy, what does that mean? What does that look like? Are they necessarily restricted from expressing their sexual orientation? Kids know from a pretty young age, usually elementary school, whether or not they're attracted to boys and girls or both or, you know, neither. You know, they have a pretty good understanding from an early age. And by ignoring those conversations, we're necessarily doing damage.
Yeah, we assume things about LGBTQ young people. It's very common for someone to be in public and maybe even a stranger would tease a very young boy about his girlfriend, maybe 5 or 6 mm-hmm. years old. That's not sexual. That's not sexual at all. That 5 or 6-year-old is not interested in sexual activity, but yet it's appropriate somehow culturally to talk about boyfriend and girlfriend in a heterosexual, heteronormative way. It should be appropriate for boys to talk about boys, for girls to talk about girls at ages way before puberty, and that's how we normalize their experiences. That's how we kind of counteract this heteronormativity.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you guys taking a part of this and even talking with us here on the OklaSed podcast as well.
Of course. It's been a pleasure.
Welcome back to OklaSed, the official OklaEd podcast. And how are you doing today, Scott?
I'm doing good.
I just finished Moana.
Okay. All right. There you go. That was Madigan, everybody, that you just heard. she just finished Moana, and it was good.
It was good. Thanks
you know,
for the update.
She's wearing a shirt that says, "Don't go breaking my heart."
Aw. Does she break your heart regularly?
No, but she likes Elton John, so.
All right.
So there you go. I've done my duty as a parent.
I'd say you did a really great job. So on the Twitter this week, we had co-moderators and we were discussing LGBTQ and then A plus. I didn't realize there was an A plus, but we were schooled on that. Issues in education. And this was Aaron Baker and Crystal Golding Ross.
Yeah. So co-moderating. And Crystal did most of the question asking.
Yes.
And Aaron did a lot of resource sharing.
Which I thought went hand in hand really well. I thought mm-hmm. the two of them really did a great job as far as their organization was here.
Yeah, I thought it was great too. And so what I did was, because of the nature of how they did this, in the, if you'll go to the blog post with this or the landing page for this, you can see all the tweets that Aaron shared. And I tried to sync them up well with the questions that Crystal was asking because they worked on this together. So I may have gotten a couple out of order because when I was looking at it, order wasn't important, sort of. I don't know. But anyway, definitely check it out.
Yes. So do you want to dive in?
Yes, let's dive in.
Question one. What do you think the differences between sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression are? What are the differences? Did you know? I mean, could you articulate the differences?
There's no way I could articulate the differences here. I think I understand that there's differences there, but I don't know that I could effectively communicate that. And I missed this because we were traveling back from a quick vacation, so I was really disappointed because I wanted to hop all over this one.
It was my wedding anniversary, Sunday night. Really? And so I was like, I'm going to focus on my husband as much as I want to look at my phone. But yeah, I had to catch all of this the next day as well.
Yeah. So I don't know that I could have effectively answered this first question. This is, I mean, hello, hard question right off the bat.
I think Andre Daughtry said, and they come out of the fences swinging. I mean, you know, and he had a gift that went with it. But Christopher Vivian, and he is at C Vivian, Vian, sorry, 87. He said that sex equals male, female, trans. Sexual orientation is who you are or aren't attracted to. Gender identity is how you identify, masculine, feminine, or binary. Or gender expression is how you present gender. And that, so I was kind of schooled on all that. That was very scientific there.
I think, too, this is a realm that where we come from is uncomfortable to discuss.
Oh, for sure.
Which has its own set of problems. I loved what Drew Robinson had to say. She's at Fat Cat Artist. She said, I think society is built on binary concepts like male, female, white, non-white, and I believe that is an oversimplification.
I do think that we like boxes, you know, and it's easy to put a tag on something. And I do think that, obviously, we've got to start coming away from, identity, it's going to be difficult. I'll be honest, it will be difficult. But, I mean, We talked last week, Scott, about having a single identity, and that could be problematic as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That could be a challenge for students that are not situated in a specific place.
Right.
Or not students, teachers.
Elaborate.
Well, I'm just saying, if someone is not situated in one of these binary positions, male, female, you know what I'm saying. That's just a challenge to find that specific identity. And I think I think both of these answers are great, and I am really drawn to how Drew addressed this, because I think, even though I try not to, I tend to put people into the box as well. Aaron, you're clearly a white woman with blonde hair, so you must be XYZ. You know, and I make assumptions, and I know I shouldn't. And so I think this is, chats like this are good for me to help me grow as a person, to just become more aware of things that I have no experience with. I have very little experience in this, with this conversation.
So, right.
Question two, what can you do to help others understand these differences? Learn.
Yeah.
I can do some learning.
You know, and I think this was a very low attended chat. You heard Aaron say that we were probably competing with Game of Thrones at this time. But I do think that it's hard to want to put yourself out there, especially if you don't know about something. And right. You definitely don't want to offend. But I think you're right there.
Well, Jen will teach, our friend Jen.
Yes.
She commented at the end of the chat that she was disappointed that it was so low attended.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I mean, in one of our tweets, Scott, we only had 9 answers to choose from.
Yeah, and I think, I wonder too, given the location, the geographic location where most of our educators live, if this is a chat that they just didn't want to comment on at all for various personal reasons.
Sure.
No, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong.
Right. Well, I think
I think you need to have a conversation, which requires exactly. more than just a few participants.
No, I do too. But I was very proud of our participants and how just willing they were to give their answers.
Indeed. So, question 2, how do you help others understand? I liked what Jackie Rasnick had to say. She is at Miss Rasnick. She said, using factual information is important. Doesn't have to be political. And don't be afraid to talk about the definitions. I thought that was great right. because oftentimes some of these things that we're talking about, they're so political.
Political or even religious. Yes. I mean, it's hard to get past some of those things too. Anyway, so I liked what Angela Clark Little had to say. She said, parents, your kids are following your lead on this one. Set the right example. Yep. And I don't care where your politics or religion lie. We can all be courteous and kind.
Oh, you know.
And loving.
Yes. And I was talking with somebody earlier today. You know how easy, how the world would be different if everybody was polite and kind to each other?
Hmm.
No matter what religion or belief you shared, you were just polite Indeed. And kind. Fascinating conversation. Question 3.
Yes. Does your district offer PD to help faculty and staff understand LGBTQ issues? If not, are LGBTQ issues ever discussed in your building? And Kristen Ashley here, and she is at Kristen Ashley. Her answer was, my job as advocate is to be a safe place for those students, to share their needs, especially with this topic, and then advocate for them. And she has done a lot of work in her mm-hmm. position to advocate for students, especially the LGBTQ mm-hmm. Community.
I'd seen a tweet in here, and I didn't pick it, but I think it strikes close to the point that if it's not specifically related to raising test scores these days, we almost never discuss it in PD, ever.
No, totally.
No matter how beneficial or in what nature. Oh, and, you know, bloodborne pathogens. I mean, and you're not going to cover this and that. So I think some topics like this, which are super important and critical to the culture of the student body and the building, need to occur. But with the reality of our A, B, C, D, E, F grades that we're required to give.
Right, right.
I think that,
you know,
I don't know, it's tough.
We don't talk about this, but we will talk about having sex with kids. How many times have you done the GNC training and, not having sex with kids. Please, not having sex with kids. But every year I do that, GNC training, and mm-hmm. there's always the Mary Kay Letourneau 25-minute video, ACCA.
Right, right.
Anyway, I think that they'll approach difficult conversations. Maybe they just need to broaden their scope a little.
And I think something like this, though, I don't know that the GCN training is quite the
correct avenue.
We'll cover it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't, I but really, people like I mean, Kristen, if we're being honest.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if we're being honest, I cannot believe we have a video on don't have sex with your students. I feel like that is a video we could skip, but apparently it's necessary. And, you know, something like this might be necessary.
I guess. Well, no, this isn't. That was terrible. You are correct right. on both counts. I mean, but I think people like Kristen Atchley and people who have her role in their buildings, this is key for them to get the ear of the administration so that we're having these conversations.
Right.
So Vanessa right. Perez, who is at V. Perezzi, said, with people, students, and staff being bullied and committing suicide, we can't just gloss over the LGBTQA+ issues.
Right.
And she's right on. I mean, it impacts lives, these conversations.
Well, and I mean, how much are kids at this age struggling to find themselves anyway? Now add this in. I mean, if you can't find your place, then yeah, you feel like you don't fit in and you're ready to go.
Right.
And that's, it's sickening to me.
Yeah.
We need that this is a, yeah.
Such a controversial thing, and it shouldn't
be. I know this, and it's, man, this conversation is hard. Cause you just want to love them. You want to put your arms around them and let them know that whoever made them feel like this,
they're the turds.
Yeah. They're turds. That's a great term.
Yeah. It's a safe term. We don't have to bleep it. So how do you deal with students, teachers, and administrators who are not accepting of LGBTQ people?
Man, and so I don't know that I necessarily know anybody out and out like this. It's not like it's in my super, you know, current memory of anybody having conversations in adversity here, but Jason Banks, he is at Jason Banks, he said it's imperative that all teachers treat all students with compassion, empathy, no matter their creed, ethnicity, or orientation. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's that golden rule.
Yeah, right on the head, that nail was struck. I don't think I socialize with folks who aren't courteous and respectful in general to people. So
not around me.
Yeah, not around me. People that I've been around, and I try very hard to be courteous and respectful of all people, whether I agree or disagree with whatever belief or thinking or whatever. I can still be polite and kind and treat somebody with dignity. I don't have to go with your liberal crazy thoughts, Aaron, to like you as a person.
What a novel idea.
But I like what Mr. David Burton said. He is at Mr. Burton MPS. He said, I tend to stress the need for respectful behavior speech. Their acceptance, quote unquote, involves deep-seated ideological changes. And I think that's true for some people.
Yeah. Is he a principal, or is he...
He's the social studies guru for more public schools.
Okay. I live in a world where, you know, I'm not in a building, so I don't just get a bunch of exposure like that. But after, you know, Andre's chat and, you know, some of the answers here, I'm just like, I don't see it out and out right. And so I feel weird saying, is this real? But it's obviously real if kids are, you know, killing themselves and people still feel like it's an issue. And it's obviously an issue.
Well, and it's not the same, but one way that I look at it, and I'm not trying to say these are two the same things, but the civil rights issues from the 60s, 50s, and 60s, just fighting for equality.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be having that discussion about anybody trying to fight for equality in this day and age.
No. Well, question five.
Yeah.
How do you respond to students who say, that's so gay?
Man, I really wanted to take this tweet, but I think you beat me to it. So I'll save that for later. I always tell my kids, like, just don't say that. Mean, do you mean you're happy? And so I always try to go back to that. There's a couple words that I just wasn't a fan of in my classroom. And that particular phrase was one of them. I tried to be sensitive to students who maybe felt that way. Or had an orientation towards that, and I didn't want them to feel like bullied through being hearing that phrase or whatever. There's certain phrases I didn't like, and that was one of them.
If you're not speaking about it and calling that kid out, then you're kind of passive. I mean, you're passively letting the bullying happen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I was trying to encourage other words.
Drew Robinson here. It was so good. She said, I always show this short video when I get upset with students that are saying that. And it's a video of Wanda Sykes. And they're in a restaurant. And these three boys are, you know, goofing around in a booth. And one of them says, that's so gay. And Wanda Sykes gets up from the booth behind him and says, do you mean, you know, don't say that. And she calls him on it. And I like that. Don't say that. But then she's like, did you mean to say that? So, you know, teenage boy with a sideways haircut, or I don't know what she said. But I was like, hey, that's good. It was good. It was really good.
She totally framed it back on him and his stereotype of himself.
Indeed.
That was pretty funny. I liked Corey Williams here. He is at Mr. Williams. Okay. He said, this is just one of many off-the-cuff loaded and derogatory phrases and terms in our vernacular. Good time to start combos.
Yeah, and I mean, if it is in our vernacular, obviously it's time to change your vocabulary.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that, you know, and you know, calling something as so gay is like referencing your friend who maybe makes a mistake or has a moment of non-smarts and referring to him as a retard. I mean, that's just not polite or courteous or respectful to anybody in that situation. Call him a ding dong. I mean, you know, gosh, I don't know. Just be decent, people. Just be decent.
Decency.
Okay, question 6. How do you think your school district would respond if you talked about LGBTQ issues during Pride Month?
And so I don't know that we celebrate a Pride Month.
I don't either. In imagining the schools that I've taught at in the past, I don't know that in a math class, administrators would look favorably on a discussion like that, no matter how well-intentioned.
No, and I'm just thinking of the time that I was in a classroom. I think that they would have thought, this isn't our place, you know? So,
But I think you could
my
do this.
Definitely didn't.
You could do this in an English or social studies class, and you could have robust discussion, because I know, like, some of the English teachers that I've taught with in the past have had robust, excellent, robust discussion on very controversial topics. And you know, and this could fall into a controversial category, you know, just based on how strong beliefs enter into this discussion.
Well, Kim Blodgett said, and I was kind of maybe alluding to it, but first of all, I'd have the conversation with my admin. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, this in another one, she said, I use her in a minute too. But she said, first of all, I'd have a conversation with my admin, with my parents, and then students. It's all about open communication. And this is definitely, I mean, I think, I'm not in a regular building. Can you get into trouble for talking like that?
I don't know. I think it just depends on, you know, how conservative of a community you live in.
School?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think a lot of teachers recognize that there are potential issues here that conversation could help alleviate for everybody. But we see those things because we're on the front lines. You know what I mean?
Right.
So we have a different view of some of those things than other folks would. I liked what Jackie Rasnick had to say. I picked her again. She's at Ms. Rasnick. She said, my building would not be supportive of this. I'd probably be called in for a meeting with my administrator. And I chose that because I feel like that represents probably a majority of our teachers. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. Yeah, that would be a tough one. And so do you think it's more acceptable at the secondary level than at the elementary level? I mean, I saw there were tweets that went out that said, you know, 4 years old is whenever I knew. And so, I mean, gosh, at 4, you feel like, you want to be sensitive, but I had never thought about it at an elementary level.
I
personally don't want to talk about any kind of sex at the elementary level. I, you know, and Aaron said in the interview, you know, when you asked the little 6-year-old, do you have any girlfriends or whatever, you know, part of me, I mean, I don't ask that, but I'd be fine with getting rid of it. So I did not have to ask and introduce a topic to elementary kids.
Right. And if I were to ask,
but that's me.
If I were to ask my daughters if they had girlfriends, they'd be like, well, yeah, I have all kinds of friends. I mean, my elementary kids, I don't think, would see it quite like that.
No, I think in what Aaron was saying was, like, it's acceptable to ask the little boy, do you have any girlfriends? But that question right there is, oh, are they going to think weird if I want to say boyfriends?
Right, right.
You know, and so that question right there alienates, and I'm fine with doing away with that question altogether just so I don't have to have any of these talks with kids. I'm just saying, like, you know, with elementary kids.
I've already told my kids that when they turn 10, I just am going to chain them up to the bed and never let them leave the room. Like, we're not having any of these discussions ever.
I mean, my Tatum, you know, we saw her search history and she was looking up French kissing.
Oh, how exciting.
Or maybe it wasn't French kissing, but that was what the last little thing was. And I was just like, oh, okay, it's obviously, like, I don't want to do this even with her. And that's just me. And
she's your own daughter, yeah.
Prude, yeah.
Yeah, so, it's a tough conversation.
When it comes to my kids, like, I felt like, I would talk with my husband about any of these things. But, all right, TMI, let's move on.
Our goal through this entire conversation is not to alienate anybody.
Of course it's not.
Yeah.
Question 7. Do you know people in your school that may be interested in initiating a gay-straight alliance? Would you be willing to sponsor one? And so, man, for me, I do know people. One of my students is very much out as a gay boy, not a man yet, or maybe he is by somebody's definition. But I'm not sure I'm the person to do it. You know, I have love. I have compassion. I don't know the first thing about it. And so in my school, I'm not sure I'm the person for it.
I thought when I read through this part, I thought, man, this is a great way to have a safe place to have conversation, to get to know people for the person they are. And one of the graphics that Aaron tweeted for this showed that schools that have a gay straight alliance had a stronger community from top to bottom than schools that did not. There was more understanding, there was less issues, and I just thought, man, this is a great idea because it puts everybody together in one space with one goal of understanding where we're all at.
Well, and this is the question that there were only 9 responses for. Mm-hmm. Does everybody in a building, again, I don't have a building for any of this, but does everybody in a building know if there is a club like that? Like in your school, would you know if there was?
I would think so because
it's like a tight community, right?
Right. And so like in a lot of the clubs for my schools that I've been in, there's always advertising. Like I could run through all the clubs because you always heard about X and such clubs meeting on this day or X and such
on the announcements or whatever. Yeah. See, we don't have announcements. We don't have, you know, I mean, outside of NJHS and NHS, I'm not sure we have many clubs either. So.
Well, you guys are set up a little bit differently than the standard brick and mortar. So.
That's why, I mean, some of this building specific stuff, I'm like, hey, would you get in trouble? Hey, can you do that? Anyway, Kim Blodgett, she said she's not sure about that in an elementary school. And that's where I was saying earlier, I was right with her. But she would be all for it. And so, you know, admins out there, if you know Kim is in your building, then hit her up if you want one of those clubs.
She's in Norman this year. Big move.
There you go.
I really liked what John Bennett had to say. He's our friend from Virginia. He is at JCBJR. He said, thank you for reminding me of the GSA. Students talking with all involved has been fantastic in my grandson's school. And I thought, That is excellent. You know, here's a guy whose grandson has one, and it's been well received. So I thought that was good. Important to understand that it works.
Yep.
Question 8: how can you improve the school experience of LGBTQ students?
Love. No. So Jason Bangs again. I took him, and he says compassion, empathy, halting hate-filled comments and actions of any kind. Mm-hmm. And this should be offered to all students.
Right.
But, yeah, I agree.
And this kind of can go back, too, to the chat that we had with Andre a few weeks ago regarding microaggressions, where just the little comments like the phrase, that's so gay.
Right.
Or homo, not homo, or whatever it is that the joke, those that the kids do.
I haven't heard that one.
Something along those lines. Oh, you would do something, you would say no homo. Like you might hug I might hug a fellow soccer player and then say no homo afterwards.
I hadn't heard of that
one. Okay, yeah. So okay. Things like that which would be microaggressions towards some of our students.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, really trying to make sure that we're aware of all those issues and not using those little microaggressions. I loved what Michael Pogue had to say. He is at Mr. Pogue. He said, being a conscientious advocate, be a voice for the marginalized, recognize problems, and offer solutions to accommodate.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that was a good one. Man, it's a tough
chat. What was your favorite question?
I really liked question 5. How do you respond to students who say that's so gay? Because although there's all these other things going on, it's these little phrases like this scattered all through the day that just flow out that indicate to people in the LGBTQ community that they're accepted or not.
Well, and that's the attitude your community's putting off. How many of those does it take to decide you're not going to fit in ever?
Right, right.
That's sucky.
Right. And this also goes with, I saw a couple tweets and I couldn't find one that fit kind of how our questions were set up, but the question of tolerance came up. You know, I want to be tolerant of all people. And somebody goes, you tolerate a thorn in the side.
Yeah.
You know, you accept a person for who they are. Or it was something kind of along those lines. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is brilliant right there. Because I've said that too. I'm like, no, I want to be tolerant. I want to be able to tolerate stuff. But when I saw it like that, man, I was convicted. You know, I don't want to tolerate. I want to respect. I want to honor. I want to treat with dignity.
Right.
So
my favorite question was, how can we improve the school experience? Because, I mean, this is something, you know, community is huge, right, in schools?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if a member of your community doesn't feel like that's their community, how can we improve that? And I think, you know, I always pick the questions that make you need to change. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
Whew, man. I'll tell you what, Crystal and Aaron, they are going to develop a reputation of asking the tough questions around here. but necessary questions. Tough, but necessary.
Well, did you have a boom sauce tweet of the night?
I did. It came from Christopher Vian, CVian87. He said, there has been very little I have cherished more than my students trusting me enough to be honest and open with me about who they are.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, that's my goal every day with students. Just, you know.
Mine was the video that Drew shared. So I'm using it as question 5, and I'm also using it as boom sauce because
that was pretty good.
And somebody else said that they try to use the same way. So, you know, she was a celebrity and she said it, but you in Oklahoma, kudos to you for doing it as well. So,
which question was that for you? Was that number 5, right?
Yeah, it was. That was question 5. Yeah.
Okay. So, there you go.
What's next week?
Hey, Aaron, who's hosting next week's conversation?
Oh, just this little known person named Aaron Barnes.
Oh, and what are you going to talk with us about, Aaron?
So, Quotable EDU is the title of the chat, and we're going to take all those books we talked about in the future and put them to good use. I mean, wait, we talked about in the past, and we're going to put them to good use.
So if we're going to talk about them in the future, that means on Sunday
night? Another chat Sunday night where we're talking about books in the future.
You know,
year 2000.
Poor Claudia Swisher, in the middle of one of these last chats, shared her frustration that her Amazon bill was going to be too high because she did single click.
and all these
books that came up, she would go over and do single click.
Oh no. That's crazy.
Okay, so we're gonna have some books to read.
Some of you have already read these books. I went with some of the books that you guys have already said that you know and love and have recommended, but then some of them are my favorite books, and we're gonna use quotes from within to form the questions.
Nice. Have you ever done a book snap?
I haven't. Partly because I don't have Snapchat, but Facebook is allowing you to do a few of those things now too. So maybe I will.
This might be a good time to get a Snapchat to just do a book snap?
I don't know. Do it.
But you can join my chat next Sunday night at 8.
Ooh, I will be all a Twitter.
All right.
All right, educators. You know what to do.
Go out and dominate the world.
Can't even look down my note.
Oh, hi, Scott.
All right, educators.
You're going to have to put your finger on that, just so you know.
A Twitter. Oh, if you need to rewind.
That's going in the highlight reel, isn't it?
Touchy, touchy.
We're only saying you're doing fine, Oklahoma, Oklahoma, OK.